God. We serve a God who even commands the wind and the waves to be silent and they quiet. So let's quiet our own lives and take a moment as we go on in worship to just allow God's mercy, His grace to wash over us and bring about that transformation, that healing in the depths of our beings that we need as we come before His holy throne. What a blessing to see with eyes of faith and see the signs of the kingdom of Jesus breaking out all around us if we'll only have faith to take hold of it. Well, we're going to be completing this summer series on the Psalms of Praise and Worship next Sunday. So we're looking this Sunday. I hope you've been blessed by it at Psalm 146. So if you'd like to turn to that in your Bibles, it'll also be up on the screen there. Great Psalm of Praise, Psalm 146. Let's pray before we look at it together. Father, touch us with your Spirit, with your goodness, with your grace. Speak to us through your word, and we will respond in glorious, joyful praise. Thank you for your word. We pray it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. I will praise the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. Put not your trust in princes, in a son of man in whom there is no salvation. When his breath departs, he returns to the earth. On that very day, his plans perish. Blessed is those whose help is in the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord his God, who made both heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, who keeps faith forever, who executes justice for the oppressed and gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets the captives free. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down, and the Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the sojourners, and he upholds the widow and the fatherless. But the way of the wicked he brings to ruin. The Lord will reign forever. Your God, O Zion, to all generations, praise the Lord. Well, I've got a cartoon to start things off this morning. I don't know if you can make that out, but it's a modern day rendition of Jesus multiplying the loaves and the fishes and how people would respond today. The first response on the fish, I'm a vegan, I can't eat that. The second one, did you have those fish tested for mercury content? And then the third person standing in the crowd says, is that bread gluten-free? There's a modern response to his miracles. It's funny, but in some ways, God's miracles are all around us every day. And although we get swept up in this kind of response, we can become very cynical and almost oblivious to the miracles and the goodness and the mercy of God before us every single moment. The psalmist begins by again reminding us, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. That's the holy name of God, and that the very name that is in His Son, Jesus. Praise Yahweh. Praise the Maker of heaven and earth. And he says, when we begin to recognize what He's doing in our lives, what can we do but praise Him with our whole being, with our whole soul, right? That's what it says in Deuteronomy 6:5. You shall love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your might. And he reminds us that when we begin to do that, when we have eyes that see what he's doing all around us, we respond in praise. We respond in praise. And whether you're a singer or not, there's a song that rises, a Shir Chadash, a new song is given to us every day. Right? Prophet Isaiah says, dead people can't praise God. Living people That's our main calling. And in fact, when we get to glory, we'll be praising him with the choirs of angels around the throne. So this is a dress rehearsal. And the question, when Joss greets the congregation, when he's on with his worship band, he says, good morning. And sometimes he'll repeat it, good morning, church. The question we need to ask this morning is, are you alive? And if you're alive, especially if you're alive in Jesus, then you have a song to sing. And part of the proof that you're living, right? Biologically, we check and see, is a person breathing? Is there a heartbeat? Are they eating? Those are things that measure life, right? Well, spiritually, one of the things that measures life is that we're alive and praising him. We sing his praises. I mean, creation doesn't have to be taught that, right? You wake up in the morning and maybe it's annoying to you because you're trying to sleep. Those birds start off at 4:45. The sun is coming. Let's praise the Lord this morning, right? You can see that little bird there with his mouth wide open. Just, he doesn't need to be instructed. He doesn't need a praise band. He doesn't need an instrument. He's just singing the song that God gave him. And the question we have to ask this morning is, who is it that we're praising and trusting? Because some people say, well, I don't believe in God, or I'm not into this praise thing. We praise and trust a God, maybe many gods, but the question is, which one do we trust in? And that's what the psalmist is saying. Don't put your trust, he says, in a son of man. I saw another translation of this that I really liked. It was a rabbi who had translated this psalm. He said, don't count on big shots. Don't count, I love that, don't count on big shots. You can see the picture. This is the G20 that met a couple months ago. There's all the big shots all together meeting. I think they were in Singapore. I'm not sure where they met this time. There's always riots every time they meet. But everybody, the press, there's the big shots. They're going to solve the world's problems. Well, they're not doing a very good job of solving the world's problems, are they? But we need to hear what the psalmist is saying. Are we counting on big shots to solve our problems? Now, I'm not saying we shouldn't pray for the leaders of the world. Absolutely we should. I'm not saying as Christians we don't have a civic responsibility to remain engaged in politics, engaged in our government, in our local and national. Absolutely we should. But I've long ago given up on thinking that a savior is going to rise out of some political party to save us. It's not going to happen, people. And so if we count on big shots, whether it's politicians, how else do we do it? We do it maybe in our jobs, right? If the boss would only notice me and really give me the appreciation I need, I'd get that promotion, right? Or maybe it's even in a relationship, even a good relationship, our marriage relationship. We're looking for our spouse to give us that fulfillment that we need in life. The psalmist is saying, don't count on people. Don't put your trust in people. People can't even save themselves, right? The big shots, how are they doing? They're not doing so well, are they? They don't even know how to solve their own lives' problems, most of them. We hear these things and we're shocked, like, oh my goodness. In the private, they were doing all these horrible things. Why are we shocked? They're people like us. Right? It shouldn't shock us. I'm not saying we should justify it, but it shouldn't shock us. They get up in the morning and they put their dress or their pants on, well, one leg at a time, just like us. They can't save us. They can't save a soul. Only the Lord, only Jesus Christ can save us. The psalmist says that without God, their plans come to nothing. The best plans of a government, the best plans of the big shots, right? They come to nothing because they go back to dust, just like us. But then he contrasts this and he says, who do you trust? If you trust God, not just any God, because we trust gods, right? Power, materialism, pleasure, those are gods. We trust them. But he says, if you trust the God who made the heavens and the earth. I got a picture up there. If you're an astronomer, that's a photo of the Pleiades. Now, the Pleiades, if you know your clusters and your constellations, shows up clearly in November and is very clear right through the winter months. It's a lot of mythology connected with the Pleiades. Sometimes they're called the Seven Sisters because there's seven bright stars there, and there's stories connected with this was the season in the Mediterranean where you could go out sailing safely from the moment that the Pleiades rose. I want to share something with you about the Pleiades. And it just gives us a glimpse when the psalmist says, trust the Lord, worship the Lord who made the heavens and the earth. The Pleiades, according to science, are the closest visible star cluster to our solar system, to Earth. You look up in the sky and you see these seven stars. In reality, these seven stars are thousands of stars. We only see them as these seven. And the moment you see the light, when you look up on a clear night, maybe tonight it'll be clear, you can go out, maybe a little too early for the Pleiades, but it'll be showing up in the next month or two. When you see it rising in the sky, when you see it there, when you see the light from those stars, that light left those stars, those thousands of stars clustered together, listen to this, 442.2 years ago. That's how far away it is. And yet we can see it with the naked eye. And that's probably just a fraction of this universe. God, who named and created the stars, who holds them in their place so that they don't go into flying off into chaos. This is the God that the psalmist is saying, will you trust him? Will you trust him? See, the problem is we trust little gods. Gods that are too small. And our vision, our understanding of who this God is way too small. Right? Paul says, when we go to him, when we praise him, he can do more than we think or imagine. Let that kind of blow your mind for a little bit. That's the God we're being called to trust. Are any of our problems too big for him? Are any of our challenges too sizable for him to understand and to provide and to bless? What the psalmist says is this God you could count on, this God is faithful forever. Now, I just mentioned some of the stuff that's going on in the world today, right? We look at what's going on with Korea, with Iran, with Venezuela, the violence in the United States and in our own cities in Canada. And it's easy to just become insecure and frightened and say, what's happening? It's all unraveling quickly. Can I trust anybody? Can I trust, you know, you go and see a lawyer over the smallest things nowadays, right? Used to be your neighbor and you had an agreement, you shook hands, and that was the agreement, and you trusted them. Now it's like, you better go see a lawyer about that. Make sure the lawyer checks out all the fine print, because you could wind up in big trouble if you didn't read it carefully, right? This God who made the universe is not only big and huge and merciful, but he's faithful. What the scripture actually says in the Hebrew is that he is the keeper of emunah. Emunah is the word for truth. It's translated truth. He's truthful. It's our word amen comes from that. Really what we're saying when we say amen is truth. I believe it. It's true. It rings true in my heart. It's true. I'm going to stand for that. He's the keeper and the source of truth. How good is that? We need to hear that this morning. We're living in a world where truth is up for grabs, right? In our seminaries, in our universities. You may even see this in your life groups. People come and maybe they're not used to studying the Word of God, and they'll say, it's fine that it says that, but my opinion is this. And you feel like, wait a minute, I don't think God's truth is something we vote on by a poll. Right? You see polls that say, most Christians in North America no longer believe that such and such a thing that the Scripture says is wicked is actually wicked. Well, so we raised our hands and we outvoted God. I think about the verse at the end of the book of Judges where it says, in those days there was no king in Israel and everybody did what was right in their own eyes. That's the world we have. God is the keeper of truth. He's the source of truth. He's the measurement of truth. And if we want to see that truth, where do we go? We go to Jesus. We go to Jesus. Jesus says, I am the way and the truth and the life. He is full, undiluted, full blast truth. Right? I've shared this example before. Sometimes you're hanging paintings around your house. You took them down to paint the walls and you're putting them back up again and you're sort of eyeing it. Saying, I think that's straight. Well, you bring your spouse in and they look at it and say, well, maybe a little bit to the left and nah, it's too far to the left. And then you get one of those new laser levels. Anybody pick one of those up? They're pretty cool. You put and then you put it next to the frame. Oh my goodness, we were completely off. What we thought we were leveling was it's way off to the right there. Okay, we'll straighten it out with the laser level. That's God's truth. It isn't about my perspective or your opinion or what we're feeling today. My feelings have changed. My feelings have changed about this. Well, it's nice to know what you feel and what your opinion is, but God's truth doesn't change. He's the measure. He's the keeper. And that should encourage us. We find that truth in Jesus. Here's the other thing this psalm says. He says that when we get in touch with our weakness, when we get in touch with the world's brokenness, we start to discover what God's character is really like. Right? In North America, where we have so much, it's difficult for us because we don't want to deal with weakness. We don't want to deal with sickness or with suffering. We want it to go away, and we begin to create a God that's like that. Make it go away. Take an aspirin. Jesus, heal me right now. It's in those moments of suffering and weakness and brokenness that we discover the character of God. It's a God, this God of the universe also knows the suffering of his people. Most of the world is suffering. Most of the world doesn't have enough food to get through the day. And in a very real way, as we read the whole witness of scriptures, the heart of God is on the side of those who are hurting. Right? He tells Israel again and again, I redeemed you. I set you free from slavery. And never forget, Israel, that you were oppressed people. You were foreigners. So wherever you see someone oppressed, remember where you started. Remember you had nothing. And I saved you. We read in these verses that God feeds the hungry and he sets the captives free. And he's done that for us. I mean, it's more than just physically, right? He's given us the bread of life, Jesus himself. And when we recognize what he's done for us, what can we do but say, I can't keep this to myself. I've got to share it with other people. You know, we saw the stewardship report, and that's a wonderful thing. It's like God is saying, open up more, because the more that we give, the more that we're blessed, and the more that we tie into the character of God. Why? Because he gave to us first. He loved us first. He's given us so much. He's called us to do the same. He's called us to have and know his Father's heart that he feels for those who are without a home, those who are lost spiritually, who are wandering. Right? We read about Abraham who never had a place called home. He sacrificed that in his quest to find God and to love others. And so he wandered about in tents. But he was looking for that city whose foundation was the Lord's. But Abraham had an open heart and an open tent and an open wallet, if you will, because he felt like none of this is mine. It all comes from the Lord. He's been so good to me. Come, share it with me. If you're hungry, come eat. If you're lonely, come be encouraged. That's his calling on our lives. I want to close with this, because it's not just a general sense. The question we have to ask this morning is, what has God done for me? What has He done for you? We read in this that He's opened the eyes of the blind and He's lifted up those who are bowed down. Now, we can project that out and say, isn't that wonderful? God heals blind people. He straightens out crooked, lame people. And yes, He does that. But here's what I want you to hear. These verses are part of what's called the Shemona Esrei. It's a prayer that is part of the Jewish liturgy in the morning prayer. And why would a person who has eyes, who can walk, pray these verses? You who open the eyes of the blind, you who straighten up those who are stooped out. Think about it, first thing in the morning. And if you got some years on you, you know what I'm talking about. If you depend on glasses, right? You get up in the morning and you can barely see yourself in the mirror, right? And slowly the world starts to come into focus. And maybe that's God's grace and purpose to say, you know, this is a gift. This is a gift. Treasure it. It's precious. To be able to read a book. To be able to see your loved ones, your children, your grandchildren, their faces. And so every morning we say, as we rub our eyes, we maybe put your glasses on, thank you, Lord, for the gift of sight. You give sight to the blind. And this morning I was more blind than usual. You know, you get up and you do your stretches. It takes a little bit longer to straighten the back out. The aches and the pains increase with the years. And you say, you know what, Lord? Thank you. You've caused the crooked to stand up straight. Every morning to praise Him for His goodness. And if you haven't been able to do that, if you were sick in bed and couldn't get out of, then you know what a gift it is to that first day when you can get up and you're still weak, but it's like, whoa, what an incredible gift this is. His mercies are new every morning. Every morning. And the psalmist closes with this picture that is so beautiful, so good. He closes again with a verse that is used as part of the Kedusha, which is a prayer of praise, an ancient prayer of praise in the Jewish liturgy. In the Hebrew, it's Yimloch Adonai Leolam Elohaich Tzion Lador Vador Hallelujah. We will give thanks to God, whose name and kingdom come from Zion. His kingdom will be forever and ever, from generation to generation. And if the words sound familiar, it's words that Jesus was bringing together as He taught His disciples, us, to pray. What does He say? He says, pray like this as you pray to the Father. Father, let your kingdom come. Do you see the picture in the psalm? Let your kingdom come. If we pray that prayer with absolute faith, believing that it's coming, then it changes how we live, how we behave, how we treat each other, right? There's a story told about a marathon swimmer who was swimming across the waters from Alcatraz prison to the mainland in San Francisco. It's very dangerous, very cold cross currents, and fog comes up, and she had a lifeboat going with her in case she cramped up and couldn't make it. And she was swimming, and she became more and more exhausted, and the fog had begun to creep in. She couldn't see her way, and she just finally gave up. She told the lifeboat, take me in. Take me in. I can't swim another stroke. And they pulled her into the boat and paddled a few more strokes, and there was the shore. She could only see beyond the fog. she wouldn't have discouraged. A few more strokes, she was almost there. When we pray, Lord, let your kingdom come, it's praying with such faith that we can see it. It's coming. The kingdom of God is all around us. The day when there'll be no more injustice, no more hatred, no more war, no more lacking, no more tears, only Jesus. And the joy of loving and serving Him. That's what this psalm is about. There's a verse in the book of Lamentations. And Lamentations, I already quoted one. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They're new every morning. And to think that Lamentations was written in a dark period, and yet it has so many beautiful, hopeful verses. Earlier on it says, Lord, in my circumstances, I will pour out my heart like water before the face of the Lord. You ready to serve Him today? You ready to praise Him with all that you are, all your heart, your soul, your might, your talent, your finances? I'm going to borrow Josh's guitar with his permission. Let me close with a beautiful song of praise that's the Hebrew of that verse. I will pour out my heart like water before the face of the Lord. Lamentations 2:19. You can look it up.
Kamayim libeya, ukach pnei Hashem, shivchi kamayim, kamayim libeya. Shichi kamayim, kamayim libeya. Shichi kamayim, kamayim libeya. Shichi kamayim libeach, noach pnei Hashem. Shichi kamayim, kamayim libeach, noach pnei Hashem.
Father, thank you. Thank you that you have poured out on us your mercy. May we pour back to you worship and praise with all that we are. And we pray it in the name of Jesus. Amen.